Read Luke chapter 2. As a kid, you'd be sitting there thinking, oh, come on, get it over with, you know. Let's get to the presence. And didn't have as near the understanding that I should have when you're 5 or 6 or 7 years old. And we're going to be reading a portion of that scripture. There will be no slides on the wall today. If you're following along in your Bible, we're going to be in the book of Luke chapter 2. We're not going to be starting with verse 1. Heading to Bethlehem because Cedar had issued a decree. We're going to start out in Bethlehem. Mary had given birth. And we pick it up in verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch on their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Now, we've been speaking about different people as we've made our way to Christmas and to this day where Jesus is finally going to be born. And there's always an angel that appears. And we know from Mary and from Zechariah that the angel was Gabriel. We know that Joseph experienced an angel in a dream, but we don't know what the angel that was. And now here we are again in this story, and an angel appears. We talked about how from the book of Micah, to when these things started to happen, there was a period of 400 years where no new books of the Old Testament had been written. God may have been speaking to people or through people personally, but no books were being written about it. Like the book of Daniel or Micah, Zechariah, Malachi, Nehemiah, and all those books that were written. So here we are, and an angel appears. Do not, and they were filled with fear. Let's pray. Father, again, I just thank you for being able to come out to your house. We thank you for this story. And Lord, even though man is finite and doesn't have it all together and we don't know everything, Lord, and the Bible tells us that our wisdom is foolishness to you, Lord, just ask us that you help us work in our hearts and simplify this message that Jesus was born. He lived a life to show us you. He died willingly for our sins, and Lord, it's that simple. If we accept him as Lord and Savior and live according to your will and do the things that you would have us to do, that we will share life eternal someday with you. So help us, Lord, to put that first and foremost every day in our life. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So it says they were filled with great fear. And what did the angel say next? In Luke chapter 2, verse 10, and the angel said to them, fear not. There's a song, I think some of you might know it. Fear not, for I am with thee, fear not. For I am with thee, fear not. For I am with thee, says the Lord. There's a lot more to that song, but fear not. That's what the angel said. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all this people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now, the angel didn't have to clarify that that was Bethlehem. They knew where the city of David was. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. How many angels came to tell him this? One. One angel. But then it gets very interesting. All of a sudden in verse 13 it says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those to whom he is pleased. Not very often when we're reading our Bibles do we come across multiple angels. Usually when this angel or this came down and Jacob wrestled with the angel. It was an angel. It wasn't a tag team match, three angels against Jacob. It was an angel that he wrestled with. The Bible tells us on many occasions, did we not throw three men down into the midst of that fire? Behold, I see four men unbound, unhurt, and walking down there. There was one more in the fire in the book of Daniel, not a host of angels or people that looked like the Son of Man down there. So the Bible talks over and over again about one angel showing up. But all of a sudden, There was a whole host of heavenly beings saying, praising God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. When we read the book of Luke, we will find these words. Luke chapter 15, if you want to turn there, verses 8 through 10 says this. It's just a simple parable. What woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels. Not angel, angels of God over one sinner who repents. So I think that when we get to the point where there's joy going on, usually there's more than one angel. Something great happened. So the Bible tells us that when somebody comes to know Jesus, the angels in heaven rejoice. It doesn't say the angel in heaven rejoices. The angels in heaven rejoice. So on this night, one angel shows up, brings the good news, and all of a sudden, the whole area, I can't even imagine what that would have looked like, is filled with all these heavenly beings praising God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom He is pleased. Out of all the angels that have ever existed in the heavenly realms, some angels have decided at some point in time that they're going to follow Satan. There are those that don't like to believe in Satan, don't believe that there's a literal personal Satan. I tend to think there is. Some of the angels have chosen to follow him. I have no idea why. Don't know what he has to offer. But they've made their choice, and others have chosen to stay where they're at with God and serve him, and are the ones that came down that night and praising God. The Bible does tell us to beware lest ye entertain angels unaware. So I think it's possible sometimes we could even have an angel in our own life and we don't even know it. But, you know, how would we even know if we had that experience? Maybe you met a complete stranger one time that really blessed you, but you've never seen that person again. How do you know that it wasn't an angel? Because sometimes I don't think God just, they pop down and they're all glistening and shiny and, whoa, that's an angel, you know. Why would the Bible tell us to beware unless ye entertain angels unaware, unless it's possible not to know? And then it tells us in Luke chapter 15, chapter 2, verse 15, and when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's get back to what we were doing before we were interrupted. Is that what they said? It makes you wonder today, if this were to happen in our day, what would it be like? I mean, we were sitting around on our phones and doing this and doing that, and these angels show up. Would we respond the same way that the shepherds did? Because they didn't say, let's get back to what we were doing before we were interrupted. They said, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Jesus isn't coming again for the first time. He's coming again, period, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there are those that today that are living, and hopefully we're not any of them, that go through life acting like there is no God. This is all a fairy tale. It's just like Mother Goose stuff. Not really ever going to happen. And one day, the clouds are going to open. Jesus will return. The Bible says that, talking about Israel, they will look down on the one whom they pierced and mourn. Why? Why are they going to mourn? Because, and it's not just going to be them, it's going to be the rest of the world that didn't believe. They're going to finally come to the realization that this is not a Mother Goose moment. This is not a time where you're going to be able to go, oh, I was right, there is no God. You're going to look and see the Son of Man coming again. And you're going to mourn because you knew, you're going to figure it out in that split second that you're in trouble. We don't want to be in that boat. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And then it says they just meandered slowly and made their way there, right? No, it says they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. They didn't meander. They didn't go slowly. They had received this good news and they took off running. And then it goes on to say, and when they saw it, verse 17, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. We have a message long removed from this story. And we are supposed to be telling that message and sharing that good news. But the world doesn't react today like they did back then. Here it says, and all who heard it, all who heard it, wondered at what the shepherds told them. When we share that message, you just kind of get brushed off by a lot of people. Some people will listen to you just to be kind. And then when you're gone, it's like, thank goodness they're not here no more. Get kind of getting tired of that. But they went with haste. And then they took that message they'd heard after they'd seen it lying in a manger. And they told people about what happened and the angels that came. And then all of a sudden how there was multiple angels. And people wondered. But see, we didn't live back then, but people had to know. I always bring this up because it's so important. They had to know the timeline that had been set in motion. They had to know that somewhere down the road here in just a few years, 20, 30 years, this Messiah is supposed to have been here and be cut off according to the book of Daniel. He's got to be born soon, whoever this is. And they had to be wondering, wow, is this that time? Zechariah knew it was because he was told his son was going to be the forebearer to the Christ. Mary and Joseph knew it was. And then when the baby was born, Simeon and Anna, who blessed the baby, knew it was. And people had to start talking. And Jesus started to grow up, and he was in the temple with them, talking with the leaders. They had to know that something was up. The good news had come. Jesus finally, we all know from talking about Zechariah a few weeks ago, that Zechariah's name meant God has remembered. Now the baby, Jesus, is finally born. And that's why we're here today, because he did grow up, because he did give his life later on a cross for us. But what are we doing today with it? Are we just keeping it to ourselves in these walls of this church, or are we living it outside of here? I will bet you as those men grew up, those shepherds, as they got older, they didn't forget that night. They didn't forget. They remembered that night like it was the night before. Man, do you remember the night that one angel showed up? Told us this good news, and all of a sudden, man, I can never forget it. I wish I would have had my camera with me. I would have taken a picture. Nobody's going to believe us. Wish I had a cell phone. Now I'm going to make some of you think. You know, do you remember what you were doing when Space Shuttle Challenger blew up? I believe it was January 28th, but I'm not sure. 1988, I believe. Or 86, I can't remember which. Do you remember what you were doing when John F. Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas, Texas? Do you know what you were doing when 9/11 happened? And some of you weren't even born. See, this is one of those moments, but much, much bigger than any of those moments. I remember 9/11. I remember what I was doing. I remember I was at work at Johnson Controls. And everybody was flooding up to see the TV because they were slowly coming in on people's cell phones. And people were wondering what was going on. Jesus was born that night, and these people went with haste to tell other people about it. And today, we have the blessing, if you will, to know that all that was real. We wouldn't be here if we didn't believe that, right? But we have an even greater message that this same baby that was born that night is coming again. And we have a job to do. So let's not let Christmas be about remembering this moment. That's a moment we should be remembering all the time, day after day, month after month, week after week, as time goes on. It says in Luke 2:19, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. We kind of need to be like Mary in this moment. Take all those things that we've ever been taught about Jesus and about the loving kindness of God and his mercies, how they're never ending. Ponder them in our heart on a daily basis. And the more we ponder them, the more it's going to make us appreciate everything that we're supposed to be doing. Mary pondered these things, and as Jesus grew up, she kind of started pestering him, and, hey, you want to turn this water into some wine? You know, and Jesus eventually knew that it was getting close to that time where he had to start doing more because it was going to lead up to the climax of him finally dying on a cross. But what is it that we can be doing for God as we ponder these things in our heart? As we ponder everything we've been taught and everything we know will come to fruition someday, that God will finally turn to Jesus and say, it is time, son. The world is in chaos. And we're all going to meet together someday in one grand and glorious resurrection to meet Jesus in the air and to come back down to this planet to usher in a kingdom. Are we ready? We're going to close with the song this morning. Oh, come all ye faithful.